Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as the best times.
To all of our first-time listeners, welcome, and to all of our former besties returning,
welcome back. Oh. You said to all of our first-time listeners, and it reminded me of like an auctioneer. Like, no. Okay. Who's got to buy? Who's got to get out? Buy, you know?
Should we be auctioneers?
Back to the best auctioneers.
I think, you know, some listen, hear me out. Some podcast hosts, they host a podcast. Then they move maybe to like a live show, like a live podcast with an audience, or maybe even like hosting like a trivia night or like a club night. How often do they move over to the auctions?
There's a first time for everything. I think you have to be able to talk really fast.
I think we can do it.
Like really. Okay. Okay, fine. We can do it.
What if you just did a whole podcast really fast? Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
That's actually very impressive because in my ear, it really sounds like when you speed something up.
Should we try the whole intro as auctioneers?
No, we will mess it up.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
I wish everyone could have seen your hello.
I don't know. I guess it's just like something I've always been passionate about for the last few minutes, and now I'm making it my life goal.
Yeah. Yeah, here at Back to the Best, we do develop new passions often. Hear what?
Somebody is sweeping.
Do you have a ghost?
Sweeping.
I hear the sweeping.
Somebody is sweeping so loud outside of my apartment. I mean, it's so...
How loud do you have to sweep?
It is so important to have clean floors, though.
It's vital. It is vital to have a clean floor.
Maybe they're raking. No, I don't have anything to rake.
Oh. Are there leaves inside? You do have like an outside courtyard.
I don't know. But I do know
anyway
that we need to talk about the Wizards of Waverly Place reboot again. Sequel. Revival.
Yeah, we need to talk about it because we were apparently wrong, but we didn't know that we were wrong because I think we fell for it. We fell for maybe a joke he was trying to make. Like, I think whatever David DeLuise was trying to do, we fell for it.
Yeah, if you listened last week, you heard us talk about how excited we are for the Wizards of Waverly Place sequel. And whenever they announced it, David DeLuise commented on David Henry's post and said, reboot, ? So like, there's like hundreds of comments under his comment being like, oh my God, I can't believe you're not a part of this, like not watching if you're not in it. How could they do this without the dad? The day after we posted our episode, the whole cast has been reunited. And even Jake T. Austin posted that he's going to be in it.
Yeah, they took a picture together. It's really happening. So again, we fell for whatever it was.
And if that wasn't enough, Grace is now best friends with the mom from Wizards of Waverly Place.
Mrs. Russo and I are best friends. We had quite a bonding moment, I would say, over the pasta sauce in Trader Joe's.
Tell everybody about your conversation.
Honestly, thank you for asking. I would love to. I went to Trader Joe's this past week. You know how I do. I love a Trader Joe's.
You love Trader Joe's.
Just needed a few things, but I happened to see someone as I was entering the store, and I thought, huh, that looks like a good friend of mine. No, it was Mrs. Russo from Wizards of Waverly Place. I immediately texted David, and you know, I left her alone. I just continued my shopping, got my stuff, and something just in my head, I thought, huh, I wonder if they have a new pasta sauce. It was a genuine thought. I just walked over to the pasta and the pasta sauce aisle. Who else was standing also looking at the pasta and pasta sauce? Mrs. Russo. So I was like, I saw one I thought looked good. She was staying there. So I went, oh, excuse me. And she went, oh, no problem.
Oh, my God.
You tell me.
Best friends or what?
You tell me. You tell me. And, you know, the rest is history. David and I will be in the Wizard of Waverly.
Wow.
Full reboot.
Oh, okay. And then when we blow up from being in the Wizards of Waverly Place sequel, we can write our book. And it's going to be called It All Started with Pasta.
It writes itself.
A Grace and David story?
I can see it. A great story.
A Gravid story?
It really writes itself. I can see it now. And we have Trader Joe's to thank for this. Hopefully they'll sponsor us one day.
Who is Joe?
That is a really good question. I have never even looked it up, and I want to know who Joe is and what he or she looks like.
Well, lucky for all of our listeners, I have a phone.
Oh, that is unique and lucky.
Because I am now Googling as we speak, who is Joe from Trader Joe's? Wait.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
If you want to know more about Trader Joe's, you can read Joe's memoir, which was published in 2021, called Becoming Trader Joe.
A memoir?
A memoir.
What?
It came out a year after he died, so he must have written this.
Oh. Wait. We need to read the memoir.
We do. Sorry, I was still reading about Joe.
No, it's okay.
Enough about Joe, though, because this episode is about Dave.
It is. You guys, we had the pleasure of talking with Dave Annabelle, who is an amazing actor, and what a nice person.
So nice.
So nice. We had such a great time talking with him about his career, and he was on Brothers and Sisters and Little Black Book, some things he did before, but also about his insanely amazing, everyone needs to go check it out if you haven't already, because it already had really great reviews, but his new show, Special Ops Lioness, you have to go check it out. He also is in that with Zoe Saldana, who we love.
So Special Ops Lioness, it is inspired by an actual U.S. military program. It follows the life of Jo while she attempts to balance her personal and professional life as the tip of the CIA spear in the War on Terror. The Lioness program, overseen by Caitlin Mead and Donald Westfield, enlists an aggressive Marine raider named Cruz to operate undercover alongside Jo among the power brokers of state terrorism in the CIA's efforts to thwart the next 9/11. And when I tell you, you will watch this show and be stressed out of your mind, and like the best way. I don't know the last time, this sounds like an ad and I promise you it's not, I don't know the last time a show has hooked me like this.
It really is such an incredible show. If that synopsis didn't already grab you, definitely go watch it. But without further ado, I think it's just time. Let's get into it. It's time. Here he is, Dave Annabelle.
How are you?
Hi, good. It's so nice to meet you.
Are you in Los Angeles?
No, I'm in Austin.
Oh, nice.
I've heard amazing things about Austin, Texas. I've never been.
Austin's incredible. The people are incredible. There's really good folks down here. I mean, I'm a New Yorker originally, so, and then I was in LA for 18 years. And then my sister's a doctor, so she moved down here about 12 years ago for a job in Temple, like an hour away. So we had been coming to visit, and then, you know, COVID happened. We were in LA and we're like, yeah, you know, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So we came to Austin, and we still have, you know, we have my family down here. So we've, you know, we got a good crew down here.
Well, a little bit about our podcast. It's called Back to the Best. We love to focus on things that we loved growing up, stuff in the 90s, the 2000s, which, of course, you were a huge part of with, you know, we loved Little Black Book, Brothers and Sisters. But one thing we always love to start by is asking our guests, like, what made you want to get into this industry?
That's a great question. You know, for me, speaking of, it might be a little bit earlier, but I was always obsessed with Michael J. Fox in Family Ties.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he had that string of movies, you know, Back to the Future and Secret of My Success, all these movies. And he was just so natural and affable. And I was like, oh, man, that looks like a lot of fun. Had never done any acting or wanted to really do it. But I was like, oh, I just want to be on TV like him. Mm-hmm. And then I went to I was in college, and, you know, there was this very attractive girl that I liked who was trying out for Macbeth. And I was like, oh, yeah, let me try out for Macbeth. I was like, that's a great way to hang out. And I ended up getting a part, and I loved it. And from there, I did a student written play and was the sort of lead in it and got to really do this sort of big part. And I was like, oh, I can make people feel something. And this is really wonderful. And so that sort of, you know, was the start of my process into, like, you know, becoming an actor, I guess.
Yeah, David and I worked on, like, Studio Lot I've been in like the theater scene before, and hearing from people as well, kind of how they made a transition from either theater to film or sometimes film to theater, because they both have such positives, but there really is just nothing like it, having that live audience in a theater experience, and just having that feedback and the energy that you feel in the room, which I'm sure is something that maybe from the start, it could have been something that hooked you as well, just with that performing aspect and having people right there and kind of feeling what they're feeling. And in that, sometimes even if it's a little like black box theater, sometimes they're just the best experiences.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things that I'd done early. I don't want to say career because it's before my career, but, you know, you miss it, right? You miss the sort of getting up, and because that is a wild ride. You are alive. You, you know, but you're very present in that moment. And you know, that's something that I really loved. And, you know, also being a middle child, I was like, look at me, I'm up here. So it was a very cool thing, but it is very different, you know. And then you go on, you know, a set, and you're you know, you have the crew, but if you mess up, you start over, and you know, all that stuff. There really is something to that live audience and that, you know, immediate feedback. It's incredible.
Oh yeah.
So I went to this college, SUNY Plattsburgh in upstate New York, right? And they have their own television run station, and you know, probably goes out to like 125,000 people in the community and the college and all that stuff. And I remember I got cast as the host of Roommate Game, you know, so it was like my first, like, I'm like, oh, I made it, Mom, I'm on the Roommate Game. And, you know, and then I sort of, it was kind of a blatant ripoff of Conan O'Brien, where I had a late night show. So I had like the pet store lady from the mall, like on my show. And college, you know, naturally assumed, like, you know, because it was kind of funny, I guess, at points that like I could do stand up. And I had never done stand-up in my life. And the first time I did stand-up, I opened up for Jimmy Fallon at my college. And you want to talk about a live audience. Like, I think I got like one or two laughs. Okay, that's and you know, that's all you need, right? That's all you need. But that feeling of like, you know, 1,000 people laughing was insane. You know, I'm not going to talk about the other 11 minutes. You know, I had no idea I could sweat from.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's that live audience. That's the moment. You know, you really are. You're alive right there.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, stand up.
Terrifying.
Stand up seems terrifying.
It's so scary.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. But especially then, if you're not funny. Like in my
really
case,
honing. But hey, I mean, I can if you. Are like for all of these really, really amazing, successful stand-ups, why the heck wouldn't they do it for their career? People are just giving them that positive feedback all performance long, their entire life. It's like, that is such a gift.
It is. It is. But, you know, funny enough, like my journey, when I went to the city, I got to work at a comedy club, Caroline's Comedy Club in New York. And I would stay for all the shows. And, you know, one would think that it's all just laughing the whole time. But like you know, there's the real struggle bus when, you know, your jokes don't hit and you're down and you're like, oh, this isn't working and all that stuff. So I have like just crazy respect for them to get back up there and do it again, you know, the next night. It's really, it's a wild thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Scary.
I could never do it.
No, not for us.
No.
So you started in theater in college. Then how did you make that transition to being in TV and films?
Well, you know, there was an ad in my hometown paper. And it said at the come to the Holiday Inn, calling all actors and models. And now I'm like, wait, what? So my sister, my younger sister, she goes, you know, Dave, you want to be an actor? You got to get off your butt and do something. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, will you come with me? You know, middle child. I was like, come on, sis. So she came with me and I made a call back, and then basically you sort of paid all your, you know, $1,400 or whatever it was, all my money at the time. Mm-hmm. And you go to Virginia and it's 2 days and you walk down like a runway the first day.
Okay.
Like, and you know, there's 14, 15, you know, modeling agents and acting agents out there. And then the second day you're literally walk around. You're like, hi, I'm Dave. Hi, how's it going? Hi, I'm Dave. How are you? With your headshot and your resume.
Oh my
and
God.
It worked. Like some guy called me and he's like, hey, you know, I see something. Like, would you want to start auditioning for a few commercials? And I was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So I was commuting 8 hours by bus from my college for like a Burger King audition. And he started sending me out, and I actually dropped out of college. I had one semester left, and I'll never forget telling my folks. My mom is like, I think she's 4'11", and I go, my dad is 6'6", and I was like, Mom, you know, I'm gonna stop going to school. I'm gonna be an actor. And she goes, I hope you fall flat on your face. And she starts basically ripping me apart. Curse words, I didn't even know she knew. Okay. Oh, no. And because it was that important for her. And now as a parent, I'm like, yo, I had one semester left to get my degree. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be an actor, you know? So she was crying. Oh. She stormed out. My dad went after her, and he looked back and he said, go get him, kid. Aww. I'll never forget that. And I always remind my mom, I said, well, Dad believed in me, really, you know. But, you know, I get it. And then that was it. I dropped out, and I did 6 national commercials my first year. And then, you know, I signed an agent and then got the lead in the pilot 2 days later. It's really it's kind of a wild story. And I guess just the journey I'm supposed to be on, you know. And lucky enough, I mean, I know how hard this industry is, and I've certainly had my ups and downs. And, you know, to still be around kicking it and, you know, being able to talk to you guys about a show, you know, makes me very grateful for sure. Oh,
he's doing good, Mom. Mom, he's good.
Yeah, Mom. Yeah, I see this.
She's fine. Well,
no, now she's putting the fan club. Are you kidding me? You know?
Mom's
I run my headshot every week.
Yeah, bragging to every neighbor.
No, it's been quite the journey, but, you know, and again, I never really understood it until now. I'm a parent. I got 2 daughters, and, you know, my kid said she was dropping out of college with a semester left. I,
have
you
some
know,
questions.
Lord knows what I would say to that sweet girl. So I get it.
Like we mentioned earlier, we loved the movie Little Black Book. I think that the scene with you and Brittany Murphy in front of the theater, one of the best scenes of the whole movie. Was that a fun project to be a part of?
Oh, it was incredible. That was, you know, my first real movie, and, you know, and Brittany Murphy was so talented, and she was so good. And you know, that was actually not in the original script. It was another character that was supposed to play that scene. I think it was Gavin Rosdale, whatever his character was. I haven't seen it, but I think it was that his character. But then I guess they watched it or saw it, and they wanted to bring me back. And so they said, you know, they wrote this scene, and Dave, you're going to do it. And I was like, amazing. I was so happy. And, you know, again, working with Brittany was incredible. And, you know, RIP, I mean, she was really a talented girl and so sweet to me. So I was really young. That was a great, you know, great job to have when you're just starting out, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And of course, we were both big fans of Brothers and Sisters. And one thing we were both curious about, whenever there's, I mean, talk about such an amazing cast for a TV show. Whenever there's such an ensemble like that, what is the audition process like? Like, did you have to do a lot of mixing and matching with different actors to figure out the best dynamic for all of these siblings?
You know, it certainly happened before on various shows that I was in, but not Brothers and Sisters. At the time I was cast, it was only Calista and Ron Rifkin were set. And, it was a pretty lengthy audition process, I remember. And back in those days, you know, you had the studio test, you had, you had casting and then producers and then a studio test and then a network test. And, you know, you go to the studio test and I think there was like 7 guys there. And then, you know, in the afternoon, you go to the network test and there's only 2, you know, so like I made the cut. And I remember, I'll never forget, you know, they told me in the room that I got it, and I was just elated. And then, you know, the cast started coming in, and, you know, there was originally a different pilot that we reshot because there was a different mother and a different brother that Matthew Reese took the part over. And then Sally Field came on as the mom. And I remember getting that call, you know, like, oh, Sally Field's going to be your mom. And
I'm like, oh my God. You're like, what?
And that's really when my mom started being,
that
the queen of my fan club. She's like, oh, mom was in. Sally? I go, Mom, yeah, I get to call her mom. Like, this is crazy. So, So that was really, you know, that was a dream job. And, you know, I think I was 25 or 24 when I started that. And, and, you know, going to set every day and standing across from Sally Field and Matthew Rhys and Calista and Rachel Griffin, like Ron, the cast was incredible. So for me, it was kind of like going to acting college where I was like, oh, and Sally was so generous with like, this is what you do in this situation. This is what you would do in this situation and all of them. So, I mean, I miss that show and those people, very much. We were a good group and had, you know, great success. And we got cut too early. We all thought we were coming back. And, you know, so they wrote, the writers wrote a season finale, but not a series finale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still think there's room somewhere. Somebody's going to be like, let's do a little 2-hour movie. Get the band back together.
This is the day and age to do those.
I know.
So let's put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, I am. Yeah. Did you write that down? This recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's listening?
Anyone listening? We would like to make that. We would like to get that Bueller, started for Dave.
Yeah, no, that was it really was a dream job. And I am so grateful and credit them so much for just learning so much how to be an actor and how to, you know, be on set and sort of compose myself as a man, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
It really was such an amazing show. And you really just have this thing where you work with amazing casts in shows and movies, because Special Ops Lioness, this cast is insane for this movie or for this TV show. What drew you to this role?
You know, to answer that, first of all, yeah, it's an all-star team. I mean, like it was, you know, you tell me, you know, Zoe Saldana and then Nicole and Morgan Freeman and Michael Kent. Like, I was like, whoa, crazy. This is terrifying because it's so big, it's real, you know? This came about through Taylor, right? Taylor Sheridan. I was fortunate enough to play a little part on Yellowstone. And, you know, I've known Taylor a long time. He was my wife's acting coach and then started working with me on Brothers and Sisters for a few seasons. And I just, first of all, I remember how smart he was, like breaking down a scene where I was like, oh man, I'm terrible. I didn't think about any of this stuff. I was like, wow, really smart, Tim. So, you know, he had mentioned Linus to me when I went back to do season 4 flashback of Yellowstone. And, you know, he had me in mind for this part that he wrote. And, you know, it's an immediate yes. And then when I read the script and then found out who was involved, it's, you know, it's even more, you know, take my firstborn, whatever you want, you know, I'm in, you know. So it was a no-brainer. I mean, Taylor is just the top of the field. And, you know, anytime as an actor you get to say his words and be a character that's well fleshed out. You know, I think Neil and Linus could be very one-dimensional, could be, you know, the husband of or wife of you know, somebody who's away and they come home and it's a sounding board. But you know, Neil's a human and he gave him a life and gave him a job and he cares. And I think that, you know, Taylor just nailed it. And I'm very fortunate enough to get to say those words. Mm-hmm.
Your character has so many really emotional scenes. Mm. Was there a scene specifically or just anything that was really difficult for you to film? Probably maybe preparation process or just in the middle that kind of stuck with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, you know, when I read the second episode, and Neil has to deliver the news to the parents that their 6-year-old daughter has a brain tumor. She's not going to make it. You know, my daughter was 6 at the time. And I remember reading it and crying and, you know, because I could not, you know, imagine being on the other side of that conversation. So I think that was a very tough one for me. And it was even tougher because I was doing my research and I met with a surgical oncologist here, pediatrics, Dr. Russell Ward. And he said it was so well written because he's had that conversation with parents. And he knows another doctor who was punched in the face after having that conversation with parents. And, you know, he was like, the way Taylor put this together. So, you know, for me, it was like, oh, this is authentic. It's real. I've now talked to a doctor who's like, mm-hmm. this is, because he got emotional when he read the scene. Reading the scene with this doctor, I was like, all right, you play the parent, I'll be the doctor, you know. Mm-hmm. And to watch him get emotional and teary and say, I remember every single one of these conversations that I've had to have with parents. So that was a very challenging one for me. And then, you know, I really loved the scene with Neil with his daughter in the hospital after she's you know, finds out she's pregnant. She's been in the car accident. And, you know, in rehearsals, we had one day of rehearsals with Taylor where he was kind of, the whole cast was there, and he was kind of cherry picking scenes to sort of read out loud in front of everybody, whatever. And he, I had to read that scene. And initially I sort of, you know, I came in hot, you know, and I was like, you know, why, this is why you don't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, Dave. He goes, Neil's already lost. So you gain nothing by yelling at her. She's not going to learn it. Like, you've lost. She's pregnant and she's in a car accident, just lost her best friend. He's like, this is the most gentle you can be. And I was like, wow, you're really good at your job, Dave. I was like, this is... Okay, so my instincts are off. Okay, copy that. You know? And I was like, you know, any of these real conversations I got to have with my kids, I'm like, yo, can you write this for me? Like,
can you script out my life, please?
Seriously.
You know, I'm like, I don't, you know, Neil's the man I want to be, you know, because I would have handled that much differently. So, you know, I really tipped my cap to Taylor for being able to sort of flush out that way of speaking, that sort of, you know, nuanced, mature way of parenting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So impressive. It really is. It comes across on screen. Yeah.
Sweet Hannah, who plays the daughter, I mean, you know, she's incredible and, you know, was in the neck brace and the thing for hours and, you know, just doing the whole thing. She's such a trooper, and it was really great to work with her and have something, you know, that I think resonated, because I did hear from a lot of buddies, you know, saying like, oh shit, I that was awesome the way you said. I was like, first of all, I didn't say it, okay? I was like, my instincts were dead wrong, okay? This was Mr. Shit, okay? So I'll pass on the good, you know, the good vibes for him, but this certainly wasn't me. But, you know, I think it's an incredible speech, and I think, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, and that comes from inside Taylor. That, you know, I think he is that guy.
And I also loved your relationship with Zoe Saldana in the show. I feel like it showed like a very, excuse me, like just a very real relationship. How was it working with Zoe?
Incredible. And man, you know, obviously I only saw the family stuff, right? I, you know, didn't see any of the QRF or the special agent. And then, you know, when I was Joe fan, just watching the show when it came out, I was like, holy cow, it's incredible. I was like just floored by all of their performances. And I think Zoe is so good in this show, just with all the weight she's carrying from the mission and then the family life. I mean, she really is just an incredibly talented actress. So, you know, standing across from her and sort of playing this relationship was a real gift to me, and is very fulfilling as an actor, because when you're working with somebody that good, you know, you're just kind of going back and forth, and you're sort of, I'm drawn into her world and her level, and which was insanely high. And, you know, we didn't truthfully have a lot of time to rehearse, and we really didn't know much about our relationship. I met her at rehearsals, and then our first day of work actually was sort of all the bedroom stuff. Literally day one of shooting.
Jumping right
so
in.
So that was kind of, hey, Zoe,
get right to it.
which, you know, was a challenge all on its own. It certainly got all the awkwardness out very quickly.
Sure.
You know, and so, you know, I think Zoe and I were really able to sort of dive in. And one thing that Taylor had mentioned in the rehearsal about this relationship, because I did have a lot of questions, you know, Neil says in the pilot, in the sort of passing moment when she comes out of the shower, he's like, are you seeing anyone? And that was like, when I read it, I was like, whoa, holy cow. Okay. Do they have an open relationship? Like, who's started this conversation? Or it was very interesting to me. And, you know, Taylor, what he said to both Zoe and I was, you know, this I don't want the audience to be guessing the entire time, are they going to stay together or are they going to get a divorce? He's like, they have committed to each other and they know what the stakes are. He knows this was her dream. She's away doing it. And his dream is, you know, saving kids, being a doctor, and, you know, the sacrifices that come along with that. I do think in the, you know, the season one, you start to see some cracks in, you know, just more or less how hard it is to really keep that going. And, you know, from my point of view, from, you know, Neil's got a lot on his plate and he's, you know, he's got the two daughters. He's kind of single parenting ish and she's away and he's a, you know, the head surgeon at the hospital, always on call. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of cards in play here. And I think that, you know, you start to see those little breakdown moments. And I think that's really interesting. If we're fortunate enough to get a season two, knock on wood, you know, we could sort of dive into some of that, because I think that's great. But, you know, I think the relationship with Zoe is a beautifully mature relationship and very different from, I think, a lot of folks' marriages that where one's away and the lack of support or whatever that is. And, you know, both Zoe and I are obviously are actors, and my wife's an actor too. So there's been periods in our marriage where my wife's away and I have the kids or vice versa. And, you know, so that part's familiar. It's hard when you're away for a month or two and you come home and there's a routine established and you come in and it's all different. And you're like, whoa, what just... No, I usually put her down, you know, that is. So, and I think it was beautifully written, you know, and
it
I think
really was.
Obviously, you know, going back to Taylor and the way he writes it, you know, it's sort of, I don't want to say easy to act, but it's easier to act, you know, when it writing is so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, when the show premiered, I mean, it's very well received. When it premiered, it broke the record on Paramount Plus as the most watched series premiere. So hopefully another season, but... How has it been to see such a positive reaction to this project that you guys have just been working so hard on?
You know, it's really interesting just with the timing of all of this, right? Because the actor strike, mm-hmm. You know, we struck along with the writers was a week before our premiere. So they canceled the premiere. They canceled all the press. They canceled, you know, the time that we would get to spend. You know, that's usually the time when the cast is all together, sort of celebrating, like, oh, my God, we did. Oh, I saw the play. You're amazing in it. Like, all that. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. We were all just home.
Yeah.
And it was a weird thing to have a show come out, break a record and go away all within the strike. Right. So that was like just a very different thing. Right. Yeah. Everybody, you know, their own sort of journey through that. But that was our journey. And so I am looking forward, you know, to seeing everybody and, you know, celebrating them and their performances and, you know, if we're lucky enough to get a season two. But, you know, my own personal life, my own personal bubble, I've never really had too many friends that like love the show. I mean, you know, your other actors like, oh, you know, that's great. I don't watch your shit. You know, like, we're just like, you don't watch everybody's show. So in this one in particular, you know, I would say, dare I say, most of my friends and wife's friends and like love the show and were reaching out, like would talk to me about the show, like, oh my God, it's so good. It's like, oh, what's happening? And it sort of brought back this element the way Paramount released it, right? It was, I think, two episodes and then one episode weekly.
Yeah.
That, you know, brought back the old school, you had to wait a week for the next episode. Right. You know, everything is so, oh, you just watch it right there. You plow through it. You're done in eight hours, and then it's done. This is like, yo, we have a week. Oh, my God. Like me and my wife would sit here and watch it. And we're like, oh, my God, we have a whole week. What happens? I was like, I read the script. It's so good. So that was a very cool, you know, I really did enjoy the having to wait for the episode new and different and fun again. But I mean, very well received, and I understand why it broke me in. And again, I read the scripts, but I was on the edge of my seat, and, you know, Laisla and Stephanie and their love story. And, you know, it was just awesome.
Oh my gosh, especially with such a stressful show, every time the episode would end, I would be like, no, 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 no. I need to know right now.
Exactly. I would be like, oh, okay, episode 6. I would open up my scripts and be like, what happens there? Oh, yeah, I can't wait for this one, you know?
Yeah.
And again, getting to see, you know, these super talented actors just on screen and crushing it, you know, Michael Kelly too, and Morgan, and like that whole world. And then, you know, obviously Nicole and Zoe. It was just, it was a really good show. And, you know, I think the DVD and Blu-ray is doing great now that it's out, and, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully that momentum leads them to a decision where they'll bring us back and we get to really play in the second one. And again, see each other, say hi,
yeah.
give mm-hmm. hugs. You know, like haven't seen anybody.
Yeah.
So it'll be great.
Oh yeah. We hope everyone goes out and buys the Blu-ray right away.
Yes.
There's so many extra like behind the scenes features and everything that you don't get to see on Paramount Plus, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the behind the scenes, like with the tactical guys, yeah. right. The Navy SEAL and the Green Beret, they brought in to show like how much work goes into the behind the scenes. Right. And Taylor cares so deeply about making this real and authentic. Mm-hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, you had a Green Beret on set, you had a Navy SEAL on set, how to hold the weapons and all that. So I was like, oh man, I wish I get to do that. You know, yeah. but then I was like, oh, I'm the doctor.
Yeah, you're the surgeon.
I got my own. Yeah, I'm a surgeon.
Yeah.
If I get shot, I'm there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for doing this.
Oh, of course. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and thank you for having me on. I mean, this is fun. So fun.
Yeah, we really appreciate
thank you.
It.
And we're keeping our fingers crossed for season 2.
Let's go. I hope I see you next year, guys.
Yes.
Let's do it.
That'd be awesome. Thank you, Dave. It was so
thank
nice
you,
to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys, too. I appreciate it.
I'm not going to lie. Dave Annabelle just makes me think of the scary doll Annabelle.
I bet he's gotten that his whole life.
Yeah, have you seen that movie?
Of course, I've seen all of them. Is that what the Conjuring movies are about? No.
Yeah, well, one of them, you see the Annabelle doll in like their room,
the Raggedy Ann,
of all the haunted objects. Annabelle's not okay. She's not okay. But you know who is okay?
Dave.
Yes.
I just have to say, I loved the show. I truly loved the show before we talked to Dave. And I think now after listening to everything that went into it, the fact that he like met with
a surgeon,
yeah.
A pediatric, yeah.
To get ready
oh my
for
gosh,
this.
And
also, hello, Yellowstone. The person who created Yellowstone created this show. They broke their own record on Paramount Plus that had originally been set by Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to get a season 2. They
I
have
wonder
to.
What it's like to have that kind of brain. Like, I wish I was that creative.
Oh. Oh my God. If anyone listening has listened to other episodes, I feel like I ask that question because I've said it a lot, but I find it actually fascinating because mm-hmm. my brain does not work that way to be able to create a show. Really, anyone who produces a show, writes on a show, it blows my mind because you just, like David said, have to have such a creative brain and just be able to kind of put yourself in all these different characters' shoes, and there's mm-hmm. it's so much emotion. Like, it's exhausting, I imagine, for the one actor who's playing that one part, but then the person creating, writing the show has to do that for multiple characters. I just give them so much credit. It's such a talent.
And
yeah.
like him talking about Taylor helping him with like the script and how like you're not going to be mad here, you're going to be like quiet. Everybody in it is so good. I really want there to be a season 2. I want there to be one. I want it.
He wants it, okay?
Is anyone listening?
No, I really think there will be. It was super well received. It just has like a plot line that I feel like grabs you, and there are parts of it that are relatable to people, which relatability is very in right now. Is relatability a word?
We're so into relatability.
We're just into it. Get it tattooed on our arms.
Tattooed.
But
yeah, if you like Nicole Kidman, watch it. If you like Zoe Saldana, watch it. If you like Morgan Freeman, watch it.
Watch
if you
it.
Like Dave Annabelle,
watch it. Guys, we're or dealing with the Zoom delay at the same time, but I think that was okay.
But Special Ops Lioness is out on Blu-ray and DVD now, like we mentioned. There are a lot of season one special features. You can go undercover with the stars of Special Ops, behind the scenes look into the heart of the Lioness program, inspired by an actual US military program. There are a ton of interviews with this amazing cast.
Yeah, we just can't say enough great things about Dave and about the show. So please check out Special Ops Lioness Paramount Plus. You will not regret it.
And you can find Dave on Instagram. He is at Dave_Annabelle, A-N-N-A-B-L-E. And then just jump on over to at BTTB Podcast. Give us a follow. If you want a one-stop shop for all of our stuff, just www.bttbpodcast.com. Find all our socials there. Leave us a review. Send us a message. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do. We would just love, love, love to hear from you. And we would also just love, love, love if you join us next week, because we have another great episode coming your way.
We do. We're so excited about next week's episode. So you all should just tune in next week.
Please do it. Please tune in. Am I taking your part? Where we are going to keep taking you
back to the best. That's 2 weeks in a row that we switched and we nailed it.
Who are we? We are just.
We are BTTB.
Oh, that was cute. It was like a cheer. Who are we? We are BTTB.
Bye. Okay, bye.